Welcome to the Mormon Medium Podcast, where we'll talk about spirituality, the paranormal, religion, and my journey in becoming a Mormon medium. I'm Nanette Ride. Thanks for listening. Now let's go have some fun.
Don't be afraid.
Welcome to the Mormon Medium Podcast. We are your hosts, Brad and Nan. We're kind of not your hosts, but we're your hanging out friends for right now. And we have a fun episode for you. We put a shout out for a whole bunch of ghost stories from our audience, and we got some really cool ones to tell you.
Yeah, we really did. And speaking of our listeners, I think it's a great opportunity to give a big shout out to all of you who are listening to the podcast each week. We really appreciate it, and we love that our voices are heard by so many. Thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you for giving us positive ratings, and thank you for those of you who are sponsoring the show through the Buy Me a Coffee app. We really appreciate that. It makes a big difference and helps us continue to be able to put out great content.
We really love doing this. It's a lot of fun, and we have had a lot of really good feedback. A lot of people have come in for appointments. They've had energy balances and readings, and it's been so fun. I've had the funnest couple of weeks, Brad.
Yeah, you've had a lot of things going on your schedule lately.
I've had the best people in my office, people that are looking for truth. They're looking for their spirituality. They're looking to heal themselves. And it's been so fun to show them, you know, the way to do that and show them how their body works, show them how their body talks and help their energy begin to heal. I have witnessed some really, really cool miracles and I'm super excited. And some of the readings have been mind-blowing, just super mind-blowing. I'm excited. I love what I do. I literally would do this for free, but you won't let me.
don't blame that on me. Look, here's the thing. When it comes to any type of energetic giving, there has to be a balance, whether that balance comes in the form of a Diet Coke or in the form of monetary payment or in the form of a reciprocal offering of energy. It's got to be there or else you lose the balance. And we've seen how sick you get when that balance is gone. You've done free readings for people before and it destroys you energetically.
It's true. It leaves the scales unbalanced. In the beginning, I used to do things for free or just bring me a Diet Coke. That was the exchange of energy and that was fine with me. But it got to the point where the scale was a little bit heavy and I was giving more energy than I was receiving. So it's kind of an energy exchange and it has to happen that way. You're right. You're totally right. But I want to do this till I'm like 100. I love it so much. I just always stand in reverent awe of this work. I love it. I love it.
I think you're amazing at it, too. So, yes, you can do this as long as you choose to.
So, today, we're going to tell our ghost story. And you know what? We're going to kind of touch on how to coexist with your spirituality and kind of take the myth out of grief and creating a different relationship with the other side. And our ghost story kind of touches on that.
It really does. And we're super fortunate. We want to just give a big shout out to Anna and Mickey and thank them for submitting this. And unfortunately for y'all, I am the one who's going to be reading this. So please bear with me.
He's a great storyteller. So buckle up, guys.
All right. So here we go. Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go, Bradley. Here we go.
She hasn't even finished her first cup of coffee yet. In April 1990, my mom was admitted to the hospital due to having cancer. It wasn't good. I was pregnant and only days away from having the baby.
Cancer sucks.
That's a good addition, Nan. Thanks. You're a great color person. You are like, you realize right now, you are my Ed McMahon to my Johnny Carson.
Wow, thank you.
Yes. You are correct.
Are you saying you're the funny one? Rude.
You're always so serious.
Hey, Anna. Tell the story. It's a good story.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I get distracted easily. You know that.
Yes, you do.
You're just so beautiful.
Oh.
In April 1990, my mom was admitted to the hospital due to having cancer. It wasn't good. I was pregnant and only days away from having the baby. I called the hospital and let my mom's nurse know that I was coming to see her and to please let mom know that my doctor was going to induce me the next day so that I could bring the baby to meet her. The nurse went in to let my mom know I was coming. Mom asked the nurse if I had had the baby yet, and she told her no, but they were going to induce me the next day. The nurse told me that my mom just said, "That is good," with a smile on her face. Then she quietly passed away.
That makes me want to cry.
Right?
Yeah. All the feels going on right now.
I went in the next day to deliver my son. I had really bad mixed feelings. I was mad about my mom's passing, disappointed that she had so narrowly missed meeting the new baby. At the same time, I was overjoyed to bring this new child into our lives. Our son was born, and he looked just like her and me. I asked my husband, "Do you think she met him already?" He said, "Yes, of course she did.
100%.
Right? I think there's definitely 100%. Some passing there." 2 days later, I came home from the hospital with the new baby. My other son, who was about 1.5 years old, was loving his new brother. Then he disappeared. My husband heard him talking in another room and went upstairs to see who he was talking to. He found this sweet boy sitting on the end of his bed with his Fisher-Price. Jesus.
Is it Monday?
Monday, Monday. He found this sweet boy sitting on the end of his bed with his Fisher-Price pole telephone, talking away about his new brother, how cute and loved he was. My husband asked him who he was talking to. Our son looked at him and told him that he was telling his grandma all about the new baby and that she loved him and his new brother and that she would be watching over them. I was brought to tears as my husband told me this.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Can you say that little boy has some gifts? Well, seriously?
Do you know, I think all children do. I think they're so close to their spiritual power, and so many of us adults just go, "Oh, he's just talking to his imaginary friend," right? That is amazing.
No, actually, the veil doesn't even come over the little one's eyes until they're like 4 or 5 years old. Seriously, it's a thing. So pay attention to those little guys. Like, they've got gifts going on.
Children and dogs, man.
I tell you. Yeah, it's true. It's so true.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
Why?
Because I excluded cats.
It's okay.
Everyone knows that cats are halfway in the realm of the spirit world.
Yeah, a lot of people think cats are evil, though.
Cats aren't evil.
I know they're not, but a lot of people think that they're associated with witchcraft and blah, blah, blah.
They're just mangy and cause allergies.
Can you just talk about the story?
Yeah. What would you like to say about it?
I love when they just hit so close to home and they're just so tender. I remember, and I know I've told this story before, but right after the funeral, the day after the funeral, we were really quiet in our house early in the morning, and my 3-year-old little grandson came out, you know, rubbing his little eyes with his chubby little hands, and so cute. I love little kids. And he's like, "Nana, how come everybody's sad?" And I'm like, "Because the bad guy killed Papa." And he says, "I talked to Papa. He said that Heavenly Father's fixing him and that he's not mad at the bad guy. And he told me, thank you for the tractor." And we were all completely stunned. I'm like, "Wait, what tractor? What's this tractor thing?" And I remember thinking, as my kids were telling me where the tractor came from, because someone had given Blake a little red tractor, and there was two of them. And he took one of the tractors and put it in the casket underneath Corey's hand before we shut the casket. And I thought a couple of things. I was like, okay, number one, he's not mad at the bad guy that killed him. So forgiveness has to come really quickly, like really easy. And it's not a matter of being good or bad. I think it's a matter of souls. And I think it's really, really cool. But those little ones, they really do. They have their veils are so thin and they haven't come down yet. And they're able to communicate with the other side so easily. So here's a thought. because I've been thinking about doing meditations for little kids, like once a week, you know, having like a little class, a Zoom class or a class here at the house where little kids learn how to meditate so that that veil doesn't come down, so that they can stay in tune with the other side, because it should be a matter of fact thing, right? I don't know. I'd like to know thoughts.
What yeah, it should be more accepted and rather than thought of as taboo, right?
Yeah. And can you imagine too, if parents were in tune with their spiritual side and their spiritual gifts, and they just naturally taught their kids from the time that they were itty bitty all the way up, you know, that these are natural things and we should talk to our loved ones on the other side. We should ask each other, you know, how's grandma today? Have you seen her? Have you seen any signs today? And it gives us hope. It lets us know that we're loved. And I think that the gifts of these little ones in these stories are just powerful. I mean, a little child shall lead them, right?
a little child, for sure. Where does that come from, Nan?
I have no idea.
Me either. I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that before, really?
I've never heard that before. You're looking it up. It's like, I'll show you.
I know you've heard it before.
I've not heard that before.
Well, then you don't listen.
Rude.
It's Isaiah 11:6.
What
it says a little child shall lead them.
Okay, what scripture is Isaiah in?
It's in the Bible.
Hmm. So why is a child leading them? And who? Who is he leading?
Christ just said, and a little child shall lead them. I think it's because little children are very simple. They're close to the veil still, and they're little wise souls. I mean, you're talking spirits that have lived hundreds of times before, that are coming with 100% of their wisdom. They're just in a little kid's body, and their veil isn't down yet. Hello, they're wise beyond their years. And I just think it's amazing. And Christ said it, so boom, mic drop.
Okay. The teacher hath spoken. Do you know there is a continuation of this ghost story if you want to hear it?
Do it.
A couple months later, we got a new phone. It was an all-clear landline phone. So what they're talking about is you used to have these phones. They had a cord. It attached to the wall, right? So this phone actually had a clear body on it so you could see the workings on the inside of the phone. They said, we plugged it in and all was good. The next day, the phone started ringing. I answered it and there was no one on the other end, so I hung up. A little while later, it rang again. I picked it up and heard a very quiet voice on the other end saying, hi. I hung it up again, thinking this is just some weird person calling, right? Which is what I think all of us would probably do. Pick up the phone. Okay, no one's there. I'm going to hang it up. Or someone says, hi. Okay, is this a prank call? I'm going to hang it up.
Well, and back in the day, that was a thing, you know, to do prank calls on people. It used to be funny.
100%. We did it all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
because there wasn't caller ID, or those who had caller ID were few and far between.
It's true.
You could do like star 89 though, I think, and call people back.
Or was it star 69?
You're just obsessed with 69. Stop that, Nana. Oh my gosh. It's like working with a 12-year-old. What are you going to do with
you? I speak your language then.
It's true. It's all good. Then it rang again, and it just rang and rang. I was not about to answer it. I just took the receiver and laid it on the ground. So here's the thing. With the old phones, those of you who have cell phones don't understand this, but with the old phones, if you took the receiver off and laid it down, well, the phone wouldn't ring because you had a little button that had to be depressed so it would actually hang up.
Yeah, and so if someone would try to call that phone, they would just get a busy signal because it would be off the hook.
Correct. After it was laid on the ground, it actually started ringing again. I instantly called for my husband to come and look at it. He asked who was on the other end when I answered it, and I said no one. I just took it off and laid it on the ground, and it started ringing. He hung it up. Then it did it again. He answered
it. That's freaky.
Right?
What?
Yeah. That's.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because we've experienced this kind of stuff, but what?
Right? He answered it. Nothing. No one on the other end.
Okay, but the phone is in the middle of the room?
No, the phone is off the hook.
The phone is off the hook and so, it's ringing.
Yes. Instead of getting a busy signal, it's just ringing.
It's ringing.
He hung it up and I said, there must be something wrong with the phone. Obviously, that's where you're going to go with this, right? There's just a problem with the phone. So it actually did it again. But this time they took it off the wall. So it was not connected to power. It was off the wall. It was down. They took it, put it on the living room floor, and went back to doing what they were doing before the phone started to ring. It started to ring again.
Okay, but it's not plugged in.
Disconnected.
Disconnected and
ringing? On the floor in the other room.
Okay, but energy is energy, right? So, okay, spirits mess with stuff all the time. That's some of your signs, guys. So, this is cool.
Yeah, well, get this part. So, she continues and says, my husband came in and just said, hi, Mom. We know you're here and we love you. The phone.
I'm welling up again.
Right? The phone instantly stopped ringing. I threw the phone away because it was just too much for me at the time.
That's so cool.
But how awesome that Mickey was in tune enough to go, okay, I know what's going on here. And to acknowledge. And a lot of times, right, that's what they're looking for. Just that acknowledgement that, hey, we still love you. We feel you. We know you're here.
It's true. They don't want to be forgotten. And we need to remember that, too. When our loved ones pass, we're still connected. Energy is energy. All we need to do is change our frequency enough in order to see the signs or hear them or feel them or anything. But why would you not want to?
Well, and I think that as times have changed, the way we honor our ancestors has changed very much as well, right? I mean, just a generation ago, everybody would go to the cemetery on Memorial Day and put flowers on the graves and remember their ancestors and tell stories about them. And it's getting more and more rare that people do that. Some of those traditions just aren't being passed along like they used to.
That's kind of sad, too, because we're forgetting our past, our history, our
roots.
People that made us who we are. Yeah. I think that's sad. In our home, though, we have an altar that has our loved ones that have passed that are on it, and we light it up regularly, and we do offerings to them all the time because we honor our past, we honor our loved ones, we honor our family. It's a big deal. We should remember those things. So,
Anna, it sounds so weird when you say it out loud. I walk past it every day and I see the ancestors' pictures there and I'm like, okay, that's so cool. I love them so much. But when you say it out loud, it's like, we're weird.
Really? You really think that?
It sounds weird when you say it out loud.
Huh. I don't. Maybe it's just because this is the world I live in. I don't think that it's weird at all because I walk past those pictures and I'll say stuff to them out loud all the time. Not the picture, but the person. Like if I'll walk by and like your grandfather pops out at me, I'll be like, hey, JD.
Right.
You know? Sup? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And yep. And I didn't know him, but I can feel him. And every once in a while, I'll just get a little ping. And it's like, cool. I love that we're not alone. I love yep. that they're not gone. You know? And I love that I've learned this because it definitely wasn't part of my world before Corey's death.
Yeah, very different world at that point.
It's true. You know what? The temples could be a completely different place if people were in touch with their spiritual side. And I'm not saying not everyone is, but and there are some people that have very spiritual experiences in the temple and they see things. But what if everyone was in touch with their spiritual side? And it was a matter of fact. I'm going to talk to my ancestors, you know, at the temple today and do baptisms for the dead, and you actually get to see them and feel them, or you can ask them, you know, while you're sitting there, do you want me to do this or is this necessary or, you know, what's the heads up type of thing? Do you know what I mean? It would be more tangible and more real because what I do every single day with my psychic medium stuff and with my energy work is I work with spirit every day and I can ask them anything and I get answers. And I know spirit never lies to me. That's the perk of working with spirit. Humans
well, can,
lie.
Can they though?
Don't.
Can
no,
they though?
No, they cannot lie to you.
Well, what about the whole great deceiver?
The great deceiver.
Yeah,
the dark ones?
We hear about that. Yeah, they can lie, right? Or they can give you untruths.
The untruths mostly come from your own ego.
Hmm. Yeah. So tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Our ego lies to us all the time. It tells us, you know, oh, you're fat, you're ugly, you're not wanted, you're not loved, you're not enough, you're this, you're that. And it, in a way, it's to keep you safe from moving forward, from being hurt again. But our past, you know, kind of dictates what our ego does. And our ego is the thing that lies to us.
Interesting. Hmm.
But if you heal those things, you heal that ego, treat it like a 3-year-old and be like, you know what? I think you're awesome. I don't need you right now. I'm really safe and I'm doing this over here. I'll let you know. You know what I mean? Then you're not coming from a place of ego and reaction to things in your life. You're coming from a place of consciousness, being present in the moment and being able to decide how things are going to affect you, which is so cool to be like that, because then you're able to communicate with spirit so much easier. It's so easy because you don't have any clouds in the way. You don't have any static.
Right. Well, and you know what? That kind of reminds me of the book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, right?
I love that book.
Yeah. The one big one is don't take anything personally. I think that's number two. So be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions and always do your best. And if you take that ego out, then you don't take things personally.
It's true. And you shouldn't take things personally. Usually if somebody's doing something to you, they're coming from their own eyes and their own experience. And it's about them. It's not about you. It's never about you. It's always about them, because they're on this path to learn. All of us are on a different path to learn. So we have to just step back and not get our feelers hurt and be like, oh, that means if they snap back at me, that means there's something going on in them. What can I do to help? And maybe, you know, you could say something like, I'm getting the feeling like you're having a really hard day today. What can I do to help you?
Well, what do you do with those people who don't want to help themselves? I mean, because there are a lot of people out there who, yeah, they struggle and you can tell they struggle. But when you try to help them, they're closed off to that. How do you work through a situation where a person is closed?
Well, I mean, how did our great example of Christ deal with people like that? What did he do? I always go back to that. Like, how would he deal with it? You just treat people with love and kindness. If people don't want to help each other and they don't want to help themselves, you know, just smile and wave or say hello be kind.
But at what point do you put up a boundary and be like, all right, I've done everything I can for this person. They're not doing it on their end, and say, enough's enough.
When you feel like enough is enough, you can do that, but you can be kind at the same time.
Yeah, well, 100% you can be kind. It's a hard situation, right, to help someone who doesn't want to help themselves.
Well, for example, there's a lot of homeless people out there that are choosing to be homeless. They're choosing to be the way that they are because they don't know anything different. But I mean, you and I, we go and we sit down with homeless people on the ground and talk to them and ask them, what's your story? How'd you get here? What's going on? I think that is Christ-like. I think that is letting them know that they matter to someone. And sometimes that's all that they need. So I think just those baby steps of just being kind is all you need to do. And you don't have to, you know, keep helping people or bail them out. Sometimes just crawl in the deep, dark hole with them and sit for a minute. And then be like, okay, well, I'm here if you need me.
I like that. That's a good takeaway. I'm here if you need me.
Yeah.
I think ultimately that's kind of what you do, right? If they aren't going to help themselves, you've done everything you can. You've helped them with resources. You've helped them with education, wisdom, et cetera, and nothing is changing. I'm here if you need me.
100%. Interestingly enough, it just popped into my head that spirit's the same way. So the spirit world wants to help you, wants to be involved, but they won't do it unless they're asked or invited.
Holy shit, you're right.
same.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And how many times do we go, whoa, I'm not listening to this, I'm not paying attention to it because I'm so caught up in my world right now with work and stress and paying bills and earning money to pay bills, and I've got to take the kids here and the kids there, or I've got to do these certain chores, and we just push that spiritual side away because it's not in the forefront of our mind.
And you know, when we're coming from a place of that kind of stress, that's our subconscious brain taking over. And we're not conscious. We're not in the moment. We're just passing through things through stressfully, and we're not wanting to do all the things, and it's all this resistance, you know? But if we were coming from a place of spirituality, the flow is so much easier. Things are better. You see things with new eyes, and it's not stressful. It's like, oh, I take the kids to the game today, and I get to sit in the sunshine and watch my kids play. And then after that, we get to go do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a looking forward to it, because you're in a conscious moment by moment, like right now.
Well, it's apparent.
I'm right here with you right now. And I love our hot date with our coffee and getting to see your smile and get to see your golden eyes. And it's awesome. I'm not looking into my future. I'm not stressing out about things. Do you know what I mean? It's such a wonderful gift to be able to do that, because spirit can pop in any second. Oh my gosh, I got a story for you, by the way.
Okay.
It just popped in. So I had a client this week. I'm not going to say any names or anything, but hopefully she's listening. She is a rock star. I am a huge fan of her. She's just coming into her own abilities, and she's very gifted, has psychic abilities, has some mediumship abilities. Anyways, she's just coming into her own. And she had asked, unbeknownst to me, she had asked someone in particular to come through in an energy balance. Okay. I have to tell you, in an energy balance, what I do is I tune into the person before they get here, just like I do in a psychic medium reading. But then I ask people on their team, on their spirit team, loved ones, you know, spirit guides, angels, whoever wants to come in to help with this healing, to come forward. And I didn't feel anybody come in through this person. Mm-hmm. She's sitting across from me, and we're talking about, you know, her goals and stuff before the balance begins. And all of a sudden, someone pops in, and I describe her to her, and she was just like, yep, know who that is, blah, blah, blah. She later on gives me a holler and is like, by the way, I asked her to pop in to let me know that what I was doing was the right thing. And I was just like, okay, that's so cool, because I don't usually have them pop in like that. They'll stand around my table for a balance, but they don't just pop in.
Right.
And it's a little bit surprising when that happens. It's almost like somebody opens up curtains and just pops their whole torso through. Yeah. Really crazy. Really cool.
That's very cool. I love that. And I love that people are getting more into their own abilities and powers to hear a story like that. And she's fairly young. So it kind of goes with what we've talked about before, that these younger generations are very much more spiritually attuned and enabled than we were.
A lot of people that are coming into their spirituality are not indoctrinated with a lot of religious beliefs. And they're just kind of coming to the spiritual world pure and learning about themselves and becoming just super powerful. And you know, this is who we are. This is who we are. And this is how the world is going to need to come together. People are going to come together in love, and the vibration of the earth will just rise, and we'll be able to begin to heal, you know. But these people that are so angry, they're just coming from a place of fear, and it's super sad.
That is sad.
So Brad, tell us a takeaway that we can take for this week about ghost stories and spirits. And
well, and I think even more than just ghost stories, I think the takeaway for this week is a paradigm shift. Rather than thinking, I have to do this, think, I get to do this. That was really wise of you. And I really appreciate that advice, because I know I get stuck in that mindset a lot. And it's so important to actually be present in the moment rather than stressing about so many things, and realize how fortunate we are to be able to do the things that we do each and every day, to be able to have the comforts that we have, to be able to have the relationships that we have, and to be able to know that there's more beyond this life.
100%.
We have those ancestors there watching over us, just like the story that we read earlier about grandma's watching over.
I love it.
They are. They're there.
They are 100% there. I love that. So take that into your week and just fill your heart with gratitude, right?
Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate each and every one of you.
And we will see you on the other side of the veil.